Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 for our text. We'll spend a few moments this evening talking about our children's hearts. And while we're doing it, you might think about your own heart as well. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, we pray we know this truth. Sometimes we don't want to be confronted with it. We don't often want to think about our own hearts, keeping them, guarding them. Lord, we certainly as parents have the responsibility of guarding the hearts of our children and establishing the hearts of our children. So I pray in these few moments we have tonight that you would use them and speak to us. And may we as parents purpose to not only protect our children, but to help them establish their heart in seeking you. I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture teaches us, and we know it, that the heart is literally the control center of our life. It is the key place where our attitudes are formed, our ambitions, our aspirations. They come from our heart. And eventually, those attitudes work their way out, and those ambitions work their way out, and those desires work their way out, and they're seen in our behavior. Our behavior ultimately reveals our heart, but I want to be quick to say that not every behavior is an exact indication of where the heart is. Sometimes we have to observe for a time. Sometimes we have to watch for a while to really see what the heart is. Luke said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." And eventually, watch a person's life long enough, they will reveal their heart to you. Now, those passages teach us a great truth that parents often miss. And that is that the most important issue with your child, it certainly is important to be aware of their behavior, but beyond their behavior, the most important issue you have and I have in rearing our children is shaping their hearts. What do they love? What do they desire? What attitude fills their hearts? Usually we concentrate only on the outward behavior. If it irritates us, we deal with it. But somehow if it's acceptable and doesn't bother us all too often, or not all too often, but at times, we'll just let that behavior go, thinking that as long as the behavior for the moment is what we think it ought to be, that that's acceptable. Well, behavior, as I said, is not always the accurate picture of the heart. Your discipline may temporarily bring about the right behavior. I was a stern father when my children were home, and I had a daughter and two sons. You know that, don't you? And Melissa was easier than the boys, and Chris easier than Josh, and Josh was off the scale. But I could look at Melissa and render instant repentance. And, you know, those big girl tears. That I'm an ugly crier. I don't know about you, but I cry like that. But some people just have the ability to single track a tear down their cheek, you know. And it melts the heart of a father. And I would see Melissa and I would speak sternly to her, and here it would come, and I'd say, "I'm so sorry, honey. I didn't know." Didn't mean to talk to you that way. But that tear was not an indication of a right heart. It could be, but it isn't necessarily the indication that, "Dad, okay, I've heard your words, I've gotten it right, and you're going to see a difference." It may just be, "I've heard your words, and I'm a little bit fearful of what you might do. A change in behavior that does not come from a change in heart is not commendable, and as a matter of fact, it might actually become condemnable. You see, children can learn patterns. Children can learn behaviors. And we're not just about getting a behavior for the moment. You and I have to see in our children hearts that not only understand, but hearts that want to do the right thing. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go there, but I could take you to Matthew chapter 15. And I could show you a right behavior. I could show you the Pharisees standing in the square praying. And as they're praying, they would talk about their behavior. They tithed. They fasted. They did the right things. Their behavior, if you only looked at their behavior, would say, hey, those men are right with God, and those men are godly men, and boy, those are great guys. But if you got beyond their behavior and heard their heart, you would say, there's something terribly wrong with that. And that's what I'm trying to get at tonight. What I'm trying to get at is that you and I need to be careful that we are not raising a generation of young people who know the right words and know the right behaviors, know the limits, know the boundaries, but do not have changed hearts that want to follow after, love, and serve the Lord. And so we've got to demand more than just right behavior. We've got to be watching for more than just right behavior. We also have to train the heart. Now, I'm going to use an illustration that's probably going to make some folks upset that I use this illustration. So don't get upset with me. Just hear me out. My wife has for 1,000 years taught the toddlers, the two-year-olds. And when we go over there, or when I go over there, sometimes I'll see toddlers. You're not going to believe this, but they're fighting over a toy. And my first reaction is, here's the first thing I see every time I see your sinful children fighting over a toy. I say, who had it first? But is that really the issue? That's a justice issue. Who had it first? If we're going to be just, who had it first is they ought to have it, right? But isn't the matter of the heart that both of them are self-oriented and want to please self? Now, every man in here is bristling right now. My kid has that Thomas the Train first. He's keeping it. He's getting it. You're not teach my boy to give something up when he had it first. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. Sometimes in our ignorance, we train our children's hearts to be sinful. Or at least not mature in what they desire to be in the Lord. Biblical parenting is not just correcting behavior, but it is literally shaping the heart of the child to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that every time Jesus would have given up the train, but I'm saying that Jesus would have understood when the train needed to be given up. Think about that. Biblical parenting is teaching the child biblical principles, not just justice issues, not just behavior issues. Our homes and our lives set the forms for the lives of our children. I'm not a builder by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know how to build much. But the few times that we've built buildings here, or I've built homes, one of the first things that is done is the foundation is poured. And with our modern ways of pouring concrete, we set the forms. And the way the forms are set, it is just essential. They have got to be exact, and they have got to be well-founded, because as we set those forms and pour that concrete in those forms and those concrete walls harden, that's exactly how that house is going to be built, and that's exactly what is going to form the foundation, or what is going to form the strength of that house. And so in a very similar way, the time that our children are in our homes, we are setting the forms for the rest of their lives. We are setting or trying to form and shape their hearts. We have to think about things like that. Because the hearts of our children are shaped by the structure of our home. Now, I want you to think. Are both parents in the home? Now, I've preached long enough and had enough personal experiences. I understand that there are single-parent homes in our world. And you've heard me say before that I value tremendously. I don't think any single parent would want their situation to be that way. But they are single parents many times. And I want you to know that you're valued in this preacher's mind. And not only valued, but highly respected for your trying to transfer what usually takes two, but trying to transfer to your children real values in a Christian home. But that's going to make a difference in how that child develops. They need to see the roles of mother and of dad. It's going to make a difference if there's other children in the home. Or is the one child the life that is so focused on? It's going to make a difference. How close are the children, the siblings, in age? In our home, we had two very close and one a little bit further away. And we thank the Lord every day for a big brother who was willing to take his little brother with him. We were thankful for that. But if you've got maybe children who are teens and you're still busy having children who are not teens, God bless you. And I'm not demeaning that at all. What I'm trying to say is all these things have to be thought about. We got to think about who it is we're training, who it is we're rearing up. What is the situation we have? Because the home that we have these children in is going to provide a great deal of the structure that they're going to need to move forward. If I'm a single parent, I've got to view my job of parenting my child differently than if I'm in a home with two parents, two spouses, a spouse, a man and a woman. Let me get that out, okay? Because I am going to get there in a minute. If I'm in there with an early family and a late family, I got to think about that. Because no matter what my age is, I'm not allowed to get tired when I'm older and I've still got little kids. I've got to think about the impact that the older children would have on the younger. I'm just saying that this thing of parenting, it's not an easy job. And it's not a job to be taken lightly because the structure of our home is going to form the foundation of the heart of that child. Our family values shape and support our children. What is important to us as parents begins to shape the heart of our child. What we try to obtain, what becomes our driving force, our driving passion, is very important. What we fuss over, what makes us angry in the home, or what irritates us. I know you never get irritated, but I used to. What upsets me? What do I worry about? What's the thing that, boy, really sets our home on edge or we have tension about? Every one of us has to ask ourselves, are the values of what I'm placing my interest in, are the values of what I am putting my energy into, are they going to be, they are going to shape my child, are they what I want to shape my child to be? I love baseball. The Nationals have won 3 games in a row. And yesterday, Scherzer threw a no-hitter. And he was robbed of a perfect game by a Pittsburgh Pirate, whom I will leave unnamed but will never forgive. I love baseball. But I want to tell you something. My children better know that I love the Lord way more than baseball. I love fishing. You've heard me say before, if you can win it or lose it, I love it. But my children need to know that I love something more than sports, more than fishing, something more than money, something more than career. And I'm getting down to just the foundational level. they've got to know, and they're going to learn from what our family values, from what their mother and I value. They are going to learn to value the same things. And if you are not valuing the Lord, if God is not first in your life, without ever thinking about it, you are pouring concrete into your child's heart. You are setting a direction. You're setting a foundation. My point is, listen, we can talk the Bible. We can take them to Sunday school, and good for that. We talked about that this morning. But friend, what they're really watching is not just our behavior. They're watching our heart, and what our heart loves, we give our lives to. And so if our career is more important than anything else, if our account is more important than anything else, if our pleasure is more important than anything else, mark it down over the 18 or 19 or 20 and now up to 26 years they can spend in your home on your insurance policy. They will learn to value what you value. And you will set the forms in their lives, and you will have taken them to Sunday school every Sunday. You'll have taken them to church. You'll have made them go to the War of Special Forces. And you'll wonder what went wrong. It must have been the youth pastor of this Christian school. But you poured the concrete. You poured the foundation. You set the forms. They followed your heart. Our family roles shape and support our children. Within the family structure and within the home, there are roles that each family member plays. A father can either be detached or he can be involved. And I pray that you will be involved fathers. Things like who pays the bills and how are the finances decided. Children have roles in the family structure. Are they participants in work, in decisions, in planning, in doing? Because all of that is pouring concrete. If dad is detached and uninterested, if dad's role is to do nothing more than bring a paycheck home, you're showing something about your heart. And you're pouring concrete. You're setting forms. Here's number four. Our families resolve, how families resolve conflicts shape and support your children. Are problems and differences solved in a biblical way in your home? Or do conflicts just go unresolved? Is there intimidation? And after the intimidation, does bitterness set in and stubbornness set in? A child is trained by what he sees. And dad, if you are a bitter, angry dad, if you are an intimidating dad, you're setting a form in your child's life. And by the way, mom, if you're a bitter and stubborn and angry woman, and you're resistant to the headship of a husband, you're setting a form in your child's life. And you may call them strong-willed, and someday you may see how that behavior is not quite right, but please remember, you're pouring the concrete. Hey, I can stand up here and preach for all the 18 or 21 or 22 years they're in your home. And they will hear me because they're taught to have the behavior to sit in an auditorium and listen to the preacher. But my friend, one sermon, 10 sermons, 100 sermons can't crack what you've poured. And we want it to be somebody else. We want it to be somebody else's responsibility. Listen, our church and our school are nothing more than tools in your hands. Parents are responsible for teaching and training their children. We're considering our policies at Heritage Christian School, and I've been looking at those things, and it dawned on me in our mission statement, we don't say we're a tool for parents. Understand, our school and our church will not train up a child in the way he should go. You will. And you may make the choice to place them under our authority for their academic training and social training and certainly some spiritual training, but ultimately, they're yours. And it will be you that set the direction in their hearts. So, how you decide things in your home, how you settle things in your home, it makes all the difference in the child, in the training of your child. When your child makes a mistake, I'm sorry, number five, how families respond to failure shapes and supports their children. How do you respond to your child when they make a mistake? I wish that I could say I always responded with understanding. Now, to say you respond with understanding is not to say that you do not respond with the rod. Sometimes the rod is understanding. As we've pastored for many years, I've seen some parents who would discipline for nothing. It didn't matter if the child told a lie. It didn't matter if the child ran away. It didn't matter what the child did. There was no discipline given. But then I've seen other parents who, if the child spilled the milk, the rod was applied. My word, Nancy would have to beat me if I got beat every time I spilled something. Now, I'm not saying to you that if kids are playing at the table and Johnny knocks his milk over because he's being foolish or something like that, okay, that might be a rod occasion every once in a while. But when a kid is a kid, and he just does what a kid does, how do you deal with that? How do you handle that? Because you are shaping your child's heart in the way you handle that. If everything is the end of the world, if everything requires stern, harsh discipline, you've trained them away. Now, I'm just trying to get us to think tonight. How are we training our kids? Because their hearts are not being formed at Sunday school. They're being helped. Their hearts are not being formed in first or second or tenth grade. They're being helped. Their hearts are not being formed at the War of the Special Forces or at the revival with Brother Pauling. Their hearts are being formed at home. The foundations are set and the concrete is poured long before they ever walk into Heritage Christian School. Long before they know their Sunday school teacher's name. Long before they go to the revival meeting. Hey, that concrete is poured and rock hard. There are two common mistakes we make in shaping and forming our children's hearts. Number one, we must never assume that training our children is nothing more than providing them the best circumstances. Our generation has come to this point where if I just provide the best, my child will work out just fine. And so parents work themselves to death to provide great shelter. Parents work themselves to death to provide clothing that is up to date and new and modern. They work themselves to death to send them to a Christian school or to homeschool. They make sure that their children are in the best church with the best youth department, with the best programs. Thinking that if they can just provide the best circumstances, provide the best college and the best college payment system. And boy, the goal is graduate your kids without student loans. And that's a worthy goal. But don't misunderstand me. That's a worthy goal. But do all of that. The circumstances will not determine your child's heart. And so they can wear the best clothes and go to the best schools and live on the best street and have the best bedroom and have even an iPad. Why, they could even have an Apple Watch and not have a heart for God. And so it's not all about circumstances. I'll have people say to me, well, I don't know if Johnny should have to work or not. My goal is to just get him through school without, you know, just to concentrate on school. That may be the most destructive thing you can do for them. Sometimes parents think their children are like geraniums. You just put them in the proper environment and the right soil, and all will be well. They will be raised perfectly. Not so. The second one is this. Great mistake. Number one, my job, provide the best circumstances for my child. There is no guarantee that the best circumstances will provide a heart with the right foundation. Here's the second one. You ready? My child's different. Now, my grandchildren are different. My kids were not different. No, your son is not different. And your daughter is not different. They have the same sin nature that you had. They have the same sin nature that every human being has. And they need to be dealt with. They need to be shaped. God placed them in your home because they needed a parent. They didn't need a best buddy. They didn't need a coach, a life coach, a life coach. You want a life coach? Here's a free one.
Amen.
A life coach. If you've got a life coach for you. They need the Bible. And they need hearts formed from the principles of the Word of God by a mom and dad who will take the time and understand the responsibility they have and deal with every circumstance and situation as it comes up and recognize the situation they have and recognize that Johnny might be a little different than Susie and Susie might be different than Mary and invest their lives in training those kids. I said something last, I don't even know where I've been, but Friday at the father-son outing. I was sitting there praying and thinking, it's been 19 years since we had one of our children living in our home. How is that possible? I'm 38. Now that's college. So, I mean, they came home for the summer, but for 19 years, we have not had a child living in our home. You say, preacher, what's the point? You're just trying to tell us how old you are? No, I'm trying to tell you how fast it goes and how the devil will come and try to distract you and tell you, you don't have the time to do all that. You don't have the energy to do all that. Hey, listen, take them to church, put them in a school, they're going to be okay. God did not give you your children. God did not give me my children so that I could make the decision, I'll put them in a Christian school and that's going to have to do it because I've got a life. You should have decided that before you ever had children. They are your life. You do not have a right to get distracted. You do not have a right to get tired. You do not have a right to give up. You do not have that right. You are setting forms. And you are pouring concrete. And sometimes that concrete's got to just be reworked. Right, Vance? Sometimes it's blooming hot outside and you got to work it fast and different. and sometimes it's freezing cold and you got to work it different, and sometimes the water needs to be remixed, and sometimes every day you're setting forms, you're setting forms, you're setting forms, and you're thankful that you've got a youth pastor that'll help you, and you're thankful that you've got a principal that'll help you. You're thankful you've got a preacher and a church and friends and family that will help you, but ultimately you are putting the forms down in that child's life. Better get a Bible and shape the lives of those children to be a heart that is given to seeking for the Lord.